Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Today is August 4, 2011. This is a community conference call organized by the North American Telugu Association, NATA, along with me, the Law Office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. I'm Rajiv S. Khanna, a lawyer here in Washington, D.C. area. We are going to address the students' issues, and I want first for some of the representatives of NATA who are here with us to address this conference. Please note the call is being recorded. So if anybody does not want their voice to be recorded, they should hang up now. Or when you speak on the phone, when we open the call for questions, don't give your identity. You can make up a name, Sam, Tom, Dick, Harry, we don't care. Your name is not important, but the information that you seek and the answer to that is important. Since this call is being recorded, it will be made publicly available for everybody. So keep this in mind. Right now we have the call open. There's about 150 people so far. Mahesh ji, you want to take over? Mohan ji, who wants to take over from here on?
I think Mahesh and Mahendra, they'll give Nata just an introduction, then probably we'll go from there.
Please go ahead. It's all yours.
Yeah, Mahendra, you want to do it, or you want me to start?
My line may not be that clear. I'm not sure how much you're able to hear. Go ahead.
We can hear you fine. Mahendra, we can hear you fine.
Oh, you can hear me fine? That's good. Okay. Then
yeah,
all right,
want
I will,
speak up a little bit.
Ahead.
Just a little bit. Maybe you can speak up.
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, everybody. And first of all, thank you, Rajiv. You've been there for the community from day one, I know you. And it has been always a privilege, somebody like you, to have support in the community. We at NATA, North American Telugu Association, want to make sure that we do the right thing for our community and especially the students who come in with a lot of, lot of enthusiasm and a lot of hopes for their career and to settle down in the U.S. And having these kind of things happening is always a big problem and a mental tension, not only for them, but for their parents. I mean, right now I'm in India, and a lot of parents have been talking to me and calling me, and then, you know, there's a lot of agony that is what's going on in these families. But we have been assuring them that, you know, they'll be taken care of well, and the U.S. government and the authorities would do the best thing and for the students' interest. And, as far as NATA is concerned, we, all of our board of directors and the president, they have already passed the resolution to do whatever is required to help the students during the tribal incident itself, way back in January. And right now also we want to do what are the best to happen for the students and help them out in this crisis. And also give them the right advice. I mean, Raju ji, that is the reason why we always come back to you to give them the best advice and see what is the best option for them to take based on their need and their situation rather than getting carried away because some X is doing this and all the Y, Z, and ABC follow them. So we don't want that to happen. And the people who are in actual need, and every case would be different. Not everybody has the same story, so we have to take up like who has a need and what something, some action may be appropriate for somebody, but at the same time, the same action could be could backfire on somebody else. So we should, the students have to understand very clearly what the situation is. And the biggest thing I would advise them is not to hide anything, especially with the attorneys. I mean, Raju ji is a great friend of all of us. Anything you have, you'll keep it confidential. You don't need to tell on the call today. But as much, if you are putting a question or need clarification, give the actual facts. And also when you want to talk something privately, you can always get to Raju ji and talk to him. And don't hide anything so that you don't get into trouble. I mean, you know. Having said that, again, folks, if you need any help during this call or after this call, you can always email us at natacommunityservice@natas.org, or you can go to
what is the email again, Mahendra ji? Mahendra ji, can you, your voice is not...
Our email address is NATA Community Services at natausus.org. The website is www.natausus.org. The entire team, our board of directors and our PR committee as well as community services committee teams, they are available to help you guys and to work with Raju ji, or if you are not in the area and you are somewhere far away in the country other than the Northeast, then we can also try and help you with some other attorneys who actually we formed as a panel.
Right.
So do not hesitate to seek the help. This organization is for to help the Telugu community especially and Indian community in general. So take the advantage, and at the same time, again, I plead you to do the right decisions. Don't follow because somebody did it and you have to do it, and you know, make the right decisions for you. And thank you very much for this time, Rajiv, and thanks to Mahesh for coordinating the entire thing, and Sun and Srinivas.
Yeah, and Mahendra, one more thing. Just let Mahesh represent, Mahesh tell about, you know, how we're working with the government agencies as well as we met your senator today, senator office today. So let
our PR committee chair and I think community services chair both went and met the U.S. senator's office today. And Mahesh, do you want to update on that?
Yeah, sure. I would like to welcome everyone. It's really, like, you know, not the right time to welcome, but, you know, we kind of in a situation basically wanted to bring everyone together and guide them properly. And as Mahinder explained, the NATA's efforts. By the way, my name is Mahesh Bigala. I'm the PR community chair. I'm coordinating all the PR activities. And we've been working on these issues for the last 6 months, since like the Tri-Valley incident happened. We've been really working very closely for the last 6 months. So this North Virginia incident is, university incident is unfortunate, but still I would say we are very, very lucky that because compared with the intensity of Tri-Valley issue, we are much better off because whatever is affected, the information what we got so far, if though it's impacting the students, may not be that extent compared with the Tri-Valley. And we have worked so hard on the Tri-Valley issue to get the students out of those problems. And we have met with the work with the government of India and with S.M. Krishna Garu, and we have worked with the U.S. Officials and everything. And to update you on the recent our efforts on the Northern Virginia, we are meeting sometime soon with the Indian Consulate as well. And today we had a meeting with the Senator's office, Frank Lattenberg in New Jersey. And we have briefed them that what is happening and how these university students are affected. Within the last 6 months, there are two universities are affected. And the Senator's office assured that they're going to write the letter to the USCIS in a day or two. And the copy they're going to send us, it will be available to the public and going to post it on the our website, NATA website, as well as we will send the copy to Rajiji as well. And basically, we requested them that, you know, the students, they have no idea where to go because according to the USCIS, whoever is approved in the service, students are looking at the list and getting registered, and it's not the student's fault. And if the USCIS can come forward and list the universities, whatever they are in question, then students can be guided properly. So for that request, like, you know, they have responded really positively, and we hope to hear something, the feedback from the USCIS in a, this week, hopefully, like, you know, if they write the letter this week, maybe next week we should have some update. And apart from that, you know, the, from NATA, we are there to help you in whatever the best way. And finally, I would like to really introduce the person who doesn't need the introduction, because the reason I'm saying introduce is he is well known, the Rajiv ji, but only thing is the brief thing about him is personally I have dealt in with him so many times, and don't look for the shortcuts, at least at this stage. He will give you the valuable advice. Please follow that. There could be different attorneys might give the different opinion and all, but if they if you can follow somebody, that's fine, but, you know, follow the right advice, because I have the 100% confidence on Rajiv ji. He can do the right job, and he can give the right advice. And please don't follow the shortcuts, at least now, so that, you know, you will be better off and you can secure your future career. And thanks, Rajiv ji. Always, like, thanks for your help, and good luck, guys.
Thank you.
If you need any help, as I said, please send us an email. And
okay.
Mohan, if you can add a couple of words, please.
Yeah, this is Mohan Patlola. I'm a board of director for NATA. So we're working with Rajiv. I know him for last 17 years. So particularly in the business, he helped us a lot of issues with USCIS. So I request everyone to follow his footstep, whatever exactly, you know, guidance he's giving. Please follow and take, ask, you know, questions reasonable way and very short, you know, because we need to cover so many people. Thank you.
Okay. Folks, thank you very much. Mohanji, can you do me one more favor? Can you repeat the email address, your contact email address, one more time?
NATA Community Services at natas.org.
So it's NATA.
You can also send to PR at natas.org.
Or if there is anything, maybe confusion, just you can send it to PR.
Yeah.
It's very easy. PR at
natas.org.
It will come to me.
PR is P as in Peter, R as in my first name, Rajiv. PR, public relations. Okay? All right, folks, let me get started on our brief presentation, and then I'm going to open the floor for questions. First thing I'm going to do is, as promised, at 2:15, I'm locking the call. Give me 1 second.
How many we have, Rajiv, callers?
200 people, 199.
Oh, okay, very good. So,
actually, exact 200 now. As I was locking the call, one more person logged in. Okay, so folks, the call is now locked, but not to worry. I intend to repeat this as often as we need it. My stand, let me introduce myself. My name is Rajiv, S as in Sam, Khanna. Believe it or not, there is another Rajiv Khanna in Falls Church, Virginia, who is, he has the same name as I do, but his middle initial is not S as in Sam, okay? Our website is immigration.com. Many of you might already know it. We also have a contact me form on that. My personal email is help@immigration.com, help@immigration.com. Try not to send me individual questions because it's difficult for me to deal with everybody. I will be doing a lot of these community conference calls, and as you folks know, those of you who dealt with us at the TVU stage, we took only 6 or 7 cases, and we tried to do them for as little money as possible, but we had almost a daily conference call for many, many weeks, and then we had once or twice a week calls, and even now we have a community conference call every other Thursday where everybody can log in and ask their questions. So you're welcome to join any of these calls. Keep track of them from our website, and you can always send me an email or send the firm an email through the contact us form on immigration.com. I caution you, this call is being recorded, so anybody who does not wish their voice to be recorded can hang up or not speak up and just listen. This call will be made publicly available. The recording will be available. So if you ask me a question, keep your identity confidential. I think that's important. I will just make a 5-minute presentation, not too much. There's not a whole lot to say. A lot of you already know what's going on. I want to answer as many questions as possible. I will request people, if your question has already been answered, please don't repeat it. Okay? Pay attention to what I'm saying. Don't repeat questions. That way we can cover the most ground. I'm almost sure by about 3 or 3:15 we'll be done with all questions, because primarily all questions are in the same neighborhood. The same ideas, same questions get repeated time and again. Now, what is going on right now? What is going on right now is on 28th July, the university, UNVA, some people call it UNVA, the University of Northern Virginia was served a notice by ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which basically said, look, we are going to revoke your right to issue I-20s to foreign students, which is called decertification. We are going to decertify you. You've got 30 days to respond to the government. So beginning 28th July, they have 30 days. In 30 days, they must tell the government why they should not be decertified. Right now, they are not decertified. They are still a valid school. Nothing wrong with them. They're absolutely fine right now. But in 30 days, they may not be. So we are planning for 30 days ahead. Is there a difference between this and the TVU situation? Yes. There's a huge, huge difference. What? In TVU, they went in and they decertified the university, never having informed anybody, including the students, that they were decertifying. So the students fell out of status right away. Okay? And that was one of our primary complaints, that you should not do that, you cannot do that, because you put the students in a situation where they cannot do anything about their status. you folks can. What are the two choices? Well, one choice is to keep attending classes according to the law. That's what ICE tells you. According to the law is the tricky word. What is according to the law? Full course of study, not more than one online class of 3 credits per semester. Okay? You must be attending all your classes. These are some of the things that go into, in fact, if you go to the ICE website, www.ice.gov/service/UNVA, you will see all the information. The links are also on our forums, forums.immigration.com, forums.immigration.com. You can go to the forums and you have opportunity to talk with each other. Of course, because the forums are open, you may want to hide your identities, keep the questions confidential as much as possible. That said, so there's a difference between the Tri-Valley's university student situation and this situation. Also, second difference is in this UNVA situation, ICE has clearly said they are going after the university. They are not going after the students so far. Okay? And we are keeping very close eye on this. They follow through with that process. Mohanji, I'm going to mute your line also. Just one.
Yes, sure, sure.
Okay, there was some little disturbance coming from Mohanji's side because he's got 3-4 people from North American Telugu Association, NARA, on his side as well. So we've muted them, and Mohanji, just raise your hand anytime you want me to unmute you if you have a comment or a question. You all have to do is press *5 on your phone, and I will unmute you. *5, okay? Now, so how do you maintain status? I just said that you can continue attending classes. Those of you who want to transfer out, the ICE website contains information how you can transfer out to other schools. One very big question that people have asked me time and again, and somebody in the beginning, I think his name was Vivek, who asked me the same question. What do I do if I have curricular practical training? If I'm working on CPT, what should I do? Well, the answer is, if your CPT was validly granted, I'm assuming that they are all validly granted. Why? Because typically a CPT is validly granted. There's few features that you've got to be aware of. And again, ICE website has all this information, as does our website. If you go to the Tri-Valley forums on our website, you'll see a lot of information that is relevant, including regulations, our letters to the government explaining the law, our letter to President Obama, our letter to Miraji, the president, the ambassador of India here in Washington, D.C. So we have all these letters that explain the law to all these dignitaries. You can read those letters from the TVU forums, and that will give you a lot of information as well. You are not in that situation, fortunately, but you can read up anyway. So in order for the CPT to be valid, it's got to be, if you are a graduate student, it's got to be, if it's given in the first semester, it's got to be related to your course of study. It's got to be approved by your DSO, okay? Typically, all graduate students have that. So you can continue being on the CPT because nothing has been invalidated as yet. But I have just advised somebody else, file your H-1 also. And Vivek was asking me that if my H-1 has already been filed, it's kicking in October, what happens in the meantime? Well, the answer is nothing is going to happen in the meantime. Sit tight. If the university is going to get decertified, they will at least give us a few weeks' notice that the university is getting decertified. And in the old cases that we studied, they had been giving students 60 days to change status, 60 days. And if they indeed give you that, then you could very well cover till be covered till October 1st. If not, this is what we will be doing. We'll be doing conference calls on a fairly regular basis. So keep track of immigration.com and forums.immigration.com. We'll keep posting notices there as to when we are doing the next conference call. If you guys need a conference call, get together, let me know. I already gave you my email address, help@immigration.com, H-E-L-P, at immigration, the word immigration, I-M-M-I-G-R-A-T-I-O-N.com. This is my personal email address. Don't misuse it. It becomes impossible for me to answer everybody. Keep your questions short, and if a bunch of you feel that you need to talk with me, I'll be happy to find time for you and address you. That said, I'm going to open the call now for questions. Okay? If you want to ask a question, what you have to do is press *5 on your phone, *5, okay? And I will take people's questions in the order in which they entered the conference. So whoever logged in the earliest will get the first chance. Press *5 on your phone. So far, I have got about 5 or 6 questions. go ahead, press star 5. All right, let me get started. First question is from area code 312. Go ahead, sir or ma'am.
Hi, this is Srinivas. I'm not sure if I was the first guy.
You may want to keep your identities confidential. You can make up a name. I'll be just as happy calling you Harry or Tom or whatever. So,
okay.
Go ahead, Trini. How can I help you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar question. I mean, this question is about if I'm on OPT and it's going to expire, let's say, by this month, and for most of the students, I believe, who graduated last year.
All right.
So, and we have also filed for STEM extension, which is the 17-month extension.
Okay.
So there's no decision on that yet. And there is a plan to file for H-1 too.
Yeah, you might want to do that straightforward, because if you file for H-1, you are covered by the cap anyway, so you can continue working till October 1st. Go ahead and file for the H-1. That seems to be the best bet at this point of time.
Okay, so that actually gives rise to multiple possibilities. I'll just want to brief the possibilities, and maybe you can answer based on the possibility.
Absolutely.
One is, if the extension is approved in the meantime, but then service gets terminated, let's say, by this month and or whenever, I believe the extension is going to be void anyway, right?
The STEM extension, we don't know for sure. I think it is. Because when I looked at the frequently asked questions on the ICE website, somewhere there was a mention that they think if the school is decertified, they think all CPTs, OPTs are terminated automatically.
Okay. So that's what I've learned from most of the forums anyway.
Yes, sir. I believe you are right.
Okay. So another possibility is if the extension is approved and service, let's say, is not terminated, but H-1 gets rejected. So can I continue on the STEM extension or?
Yeah, why not? Because the STEM extension is still there for the next 17 months, absolutely.
Because the thing is, when we are applying for H-1, I think it is tagged with change of status, right? So when H-1 gets rejected...
Chini, if the H-1 is denied, so is the change of status.
Okay. That answers my one possibility. Another is if the STEM gets rejected and H-1 is filed before EAD expiration, which is the OPD expiration, as you said, I think already the cap will cover me, right, till October 1st.
Correct.
Again, in this case, I believe that service is not terminated. We are assuming that.
Yes. If service is terminated, then OPT is gone, as far as I know. I'll double-check. You know, as we are going along, we are finding out all these questions and answers. If I find something different, I'll post it on my blog or in the forum.
And one last question I have is this about filing for H-1, and I know, I mean, I've learned recently that it requires a PS equivalent of U.S. degree from an accredited college, and UNV being a non-accredited college, what will happen now? Will the degree be, like, there is every possibility, as I look at it, that the H-1 will either get an RFE or it in fact probably will get rejected, so...
This is a very good question. Let me start by telling you, first of all, you at least had some degrees and experience before you entered USA, correct?
Yes.
So they're not going anywhere. A lot of you already have four-year bachelor's degrees. If you do, those are as good as US degrees. Okay? Mm-hmm. Some of you, if you have like a three-year degree in computer science, but then you have 3 years of experience on top of that, that's good enough. See, for each year of college you don't have, you can substitute with 3 years of experience, okay? So if you have 3 year college degree, if you have 3 years experience on top of that, that makes you a bachelor's degree. As long as the experience is professional level experience and related to or in the field in which you are.
Okay, that brings rise to, I mean, one last and final possibility from my side. Most of the students, I believe, are from non-computer science bachelor's background from India, and enrolling in master's here. Now that they are non-computer science bachelors, and this master's is kind of non-accredited, so what would be the scenario for those guys?
There's a lot of variations possible, okay? If people have a background, for example, in this, they have BCom degrees, and then they have 3 years experience, we can easily get that degree plus experience evaluated to an MIS degree.
Okay, so it all boils down to the...
Yeah, information systems degree. Yeah, exactly. Because, see, even in USA, when you go to a school, the first 3 years are general studies. 1 year is focused on what your major is.
Okay.
Okay. So therefore, most of these cases we can work things out if the degree is related to business or to the subject area itself. For example, somebody has a degree in biology, and he's working in developing software for a biology lab. You see the connection there?
Okay.
You know, then the degree in biology is relevant because it is directly implicated in what you do.
Okay. So, for example, if somebody has a mechanical engineering degree, and then now they've done their master's here.
And they're doing MRP work. They're doing manufacturing resource planning. Okay. Of course, MRP is directly related to mechanical engineering. You can have a degree in mechanical engineering and be a programmer doing MRP.
Okay, so it depends on what they are doing right now, how we can tie it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
A lot of variation.
Thanks a lot for taking the question, actually. I think that answers most of my questions.
Very good. Srini, thank you. These were very good questions. Well thought out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, guys. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eight hands up. Good. That should be enough time for us to cover in the next half hour. Let me start with the area code 612. 612, go ahead, please. You are calling from 612 226, and you logged in at 1:40 p.m. I've just unmuted you. Area code 612. Okay, I'll leave you open. I'll go on to the next one. Area code 217. Area code 217, go ahead. Area code 217.
Oh. Yeah, hi, Raju. I have a quiz. I finished my master's, but I did not get the degree or something. It'll be used for, as a OPT, it'll be going to be extended. How much period it is there, it is going to be there, or it's after 1 month or 60 days, it's going to be invalid, so the OPT OPT will not be used?
Ma'am, as I understand, your question is when does the OPT get terminated?
Yeah.
In my view, it gets terminated when the school gets decertified.
Oh. Okay, fine. And right now, once it is decertified, then at the time I have to take the H-1 right now. Recently I finished my
master's. Right.
Mask, so
right. What I'm telling people is, if you have the option, go ahead and apply for an H-1. If you're an OPT, it may not be a bad idea to apply for an H-1.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I have been doing the master in this university, so when it is it's going to be decertified and this thing. Degree is not be used at all right now, then?
Well, your question is, if as I understand, the degree that I've earned, is it worth something? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, I have been doing the master. I have completed everything, and if I come to the ESL and it's not valid, it's like that or what I want to know.
You see, valid has so many different meanings. I don't know what the word valid means, because as you went into UNVA, you realized that some of their degrees are not recognized, correct?
Yeah.
So it is as valid as it would be. The reason they are being decertified is not because of the level of their education. That's not the judgment here. The judgment is their failure to follow immigration rules, if indeed they find that. So don't confuse the two issues. Validity of the degree is a question related to the value of the education. That's not under question.
Okay.
So the degree is as valid as any other school that is unaccredited.
Okay, that's what I want to know, the thing.
Yeah, I think the degree would be as valid. I'm not an expert in education evaluation, but I would say yes, it's as valid as any other degree. The school was still in function when you got your degree. Why not? You did your classes, you got your degree.
Yeah, I did not receive my degree or something. So it's going to be the university is going to be it's going to close it, or like it's going to be decertified or something.
Decertify, right?
Yeah, decertify, right? Once the university is decertified, then how can I get my degree?
So your question is, can I get my degree after the school gets decertified?
Yeah.
That is a question of state law. That depends upon what the state law permits them to do. I don't know, as a foreign student, are you allowed to get a degree awarded even after the school is decertified? I don't think so. But can you transfer those credits somewhere else? Probably yes.
Okay.
And finish your degree in another school.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's what I think you can do. I'm making a guess here. My guess would be you could go from one unaccredited school to another unaccredited school, and the second school might be able to use the credits that you already gained with the old university.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But you can double-check that. Why don't you call a few schools and find that out? That's really a question of, more in the nature of not immigration law but other laws. So right now I'm trying to focus only on immigration law.
Oh, only immigration. And you told, I have this question, that's it, about the OPG, and if it is decertified, then we have to be applying for the H-1, and that's what
you should apply for the H-1 before you are decertified.
Oh, okay. It is valid only for 60 days or 30 days right now?
What is valid only for 30 days?
I mean, say it's going to decertify when...
No. Let me make it even more clear, okay? I may have hurried through it. Let me make it clear. Right now, the school is perfectly functional. There's nothing wrong with the school.
Oh, okay.
Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
The school has been served a notice by the government on 28th mm-hmm. July that they have 30 days to respond why they should not decertify the school.
Okay.
Then it's kind of like a show cause notice. Then the school responds. Then the government reads their submissions and reviews the arguments that the school makes. And in a few days, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 days, they will decide whether to decertify or not to decertify.
Okay.
So 30 days after July 28th, the school's response is due. After that, a few weeks after that, the government will decide whether or not to decertify. If they decertify,
mm-hmm.
we are hoping that they will give the students some grace period.
Okay.
To change status or to transfer schools.
Mm-hmm.
We are hoping. And they mm-hmm. did that in one more school that was closed in Pennsylvania a few years ago or a few months ago. In that
mm-hmm.
school, they gave the students 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
But in Tri-Valley University, they gave no grace period at all.
Okay.
So this is our guess. First, the university has 30 days to respond. Then the government will take a decision. And hopefully when they take a decision, they'll give us some grace period.
Okay.
Are you clear now?
Yeah, I'm clear right now.
Good. Do you have any other question?
No. Thanks for the questions and the answer. And clearly I understood what I needed.
Good. You're welcome. We'll keep doing this until you all understand. Don't worry. Good luck.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Okay. Area code 612, you're still open. You had a question. Area code 612, you're still open. Area code 860, go ahead, please. 860.
Hi, Raju.
Hello.
Actually, I have a couple of questions. My first question is, I'm working on a CPT on UNVA. So if I file my H-1, right now, and if I plan to transfer to other school, meanwhile, what would be my situation?
You see, I don't see any problem with that because the transfer of the school is accomplished through the service system.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is a different and separate proceeding. You can continue doing that while you're doing your H-1 on the side. I don't see any problem with it.
Okay. My concern is if we are filing an H-1 because I'm working on the CPT based on that, if we are filing an H-1. So once we transfer to other university, then the CPT gets cancelled.
But your status does not get cancelled. If you stop working, you are still okay, right?
Yeah.
See, CPT goes out the window the date your transition is approved.
Yes, CPT goes out the window. What about the H-1?
But the H-1 is already pending, and you still continue to be on student status. CPT is not student status. CPT is merely working.
Yes, CPT is working. I'm asking, is there any that will affect on my H-1 process?
I don't see any effect at all, sir.
it will not affect the H-1 process.
I don't see any effect, but I do want to have you discuss this with your H-1 lawyers. If they have any questions or they need my comments, they're welcome to call me. I am always available to my colleagues. Anything I can tell them that I know, I'll be happy to. But in my opinion, there should be no problem.
No, there should be no problem. And one more question I have is, as this university was not accredited, if we try to transfer any credits, the credits are not being transferred. If by any chance the UNVA gets decertified, do I have a right to ask the university people to refund back all the tuition?
Definitely a question of state law, which is Virginia law. In my opinion, I think there should be a cause of action somewhere. So the answer is yes. I think we might end up filing some kind of a class action lawsuit on behalf of the students.
Because I'm asking this because most of this, the students who paid the tuition will get transferred by some means. If we get transferred to other universities, and
right.
We don't have rights, if they don't transfer all the credits, then the amount of time and the amount of money which the students spend.
Well, you can sue for compensation. I don't do state court litigation. My litigation is only in the federal courts. But we can certainly try to form a group and see if we can do something about that. Right now, we are concerned about the immigration status. But that's something to think of in the future, definitely.
Oh, okay. And one more thing. I am on CPT. Once the university got decertified, the CPT is completely out of question, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, if CPT is out of question, in OPT, when the OPT gets ended, then they will coming into a cap-gap situation where they can come on to the H-1 from October 1st.
Right.
Do we have any facility for that for the CPT? Or?
No, CPT has no such cap-gap extension, no.
No such cap. Once it's done, it's done.
It's done.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck, sir. Okay, I am going on to some more people have raised their hands. I'll do the best I can for you folks. Area code 704, go ahead, please, 704. Area code 704-858. You logged in at 1:47 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Area code 703. Area code 703.
Yes, Rajiv. I'm one of the students affected by the UNVA.
Yes, sir.
I entered the U.S. On an F-1 visa, and I had initially joined the college in Detroit. Then I transferred my university from Detroit to the UNVA at Virginia.
Okay.
And I have two questions, and I have applied for my OPT, which expired on June 27, 2011. And I have my STEM extension OPT still on pending.
Okay.
Which I had applied it a month before the June 27, 2011. So it says that it's still in processing.
Okay.
And I got married to USC, a U.S. citizen, my spouse,
okay.
And I haven't yet applied for a green card, thinking that
that's excellent. Look, let me clarify something for you. Even if you fall out of status, if you are married to a U.S. citizen, you will get your green card without too much hassle.
Right. But then I was filing up a certain documents, which I was seeing through your website, which says that through family green card processing.
Right, right.
And I just came through some of your few reviews and other testimonials. I've read through the documents.
Let me stop you for 1 second. I discourage people from hiring lawyers for family-based cases, especially for U.S. citizens. It's really a bunch of papers you have to file. You want to spend thousands of your dollars? I'll be happy to take them from you. But basically, what you need to look at is the following documents. Write them down as I'm talking. You need to look at Form I-130.
Okay.
You need to look at Form I-485.
Right.
You need to look at Form I-864, Affidavit of Support. You need to look at Form G as in girl, 325A as in apple, G325A, biographic information sheet, one for you, one for your wife.
Okay,
you need to look at Form I-765, employment authorization.
Okay.
You need to look at Form I-131, which is for advanced parole. But before you travel outside USA, I want you to do a consultation with a lawyer. You're welcome to come to our conference, free conference calls. We'll be happy to talk with you. Or if you want, if you feel like spending money, you can go ahead and call my office and arrange a consultation. I do free community conference calls every other Thursday. I've been doing it for years. Okay?
Right. My only
Anybody
concern
can log
that,
in.
Right. My only concern is that I was trying to do it at the end of the year, but then there was a situation which fell off.
No. Get the paperwork started. Why not? Why not? Get the paperwork.
Because the 485 says that on the part one, they needed information about me, which said that the USCIS status and expires on. They have two columns on
that. My friend, you don't need to worry about that at all. Even if you say out of status or even if you leave it blank, you're going to get your green card.
Right. So I have one of my friend's spouse also studying in the same college. I have another question.
Sure.
So she decided that because he is in H-1 and she is on OPT currently, she decided that she wanted to go to a college like University of Phoenix or Baylor University. And, you know, I mean, is that possible that she can transfer it immediately and file an F-1 and then...
Sure. If you go to the ICE website, go to www.ice.com/SEVIS/UNVA. It tells you exactly how to transfer.
Right, sir. All right, yeah, I have good information about this because I was still struggling whether I had to wait for my OPT.
No.
OPT.
Go ahead and file your paperwork. Way to go.
Right. All right, sir. I'll just check into your website. You've been doing a great help for the students as well.
It is my pleasure. I absolutely enjoy it. This is the best thing I do with my day. Don't worry about it. Don't have to thank me.
Right.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Rajiv. Thanks, Nata.
All right, sir. Bye-bye. Okay. Area code 704, you are still open. Okay. Let's go on to area code 312. Go ahead, please. Area code 312-548.
Yeah, this is Srinivas again, actually.
Yes,
based on the question that I asked and then the other lady asked, I had two more coming up related to that.
You ask good questions. I will go ahead and indulge you.
Okay, thank you very much. The question is, I know we can do evaluation, as you already told. So my question would be, would the courses that people have done at UNVA, can they be
come. They probably won't come. But that's something an evaluator can tell you. I cannot. I'm pretty sure they won't come.
Okay. That answers the question. Another is, when I'm applying for H-1, let's say, would that now be counted as general quota or MS quota? Because CAP-CAP...
General quota.
Then CAP-CAP will not come into picture, right?
Why? CAP-CAP covers everybody.
Oh, I thought CAP-CAP is only for people who have done their MS from U.S.
I don't.
So, okay, it's just MS. It doesn't matter whether they have...
CAP-CAP covers anybody who's a student whose OPT expires after April 1st.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be that the MS degree that they have got is going to be used or not.
I would be surprised. I've read the regulations.
Because if they're not going to use the MS degree for H-1, I was just wondering, are they really going to use that for CAP-CAP?
No. A CAP-CAP will be acceptable, in my opinion. Also, double-check the ICE.gov website. They have a very good frequently asked questions on CAP-CAP. If you see anything that you think I am missing, look, I'm always willing to learn. Drop me an email to help@immigration.com. Say, Rajiv, you're full of it. You're wrong. This is how it works.
Oh, no.
Prove me wrong. I would like to be proven wrong. I like to learn new things.
No, this is a question, so there's no question.
I think you'll be okay.
There.
I don't think CAP-CAP is an issue. If your I-20, if your OPT expires after April 1st of any year, you are covered by CAP-CAP as long as you apply by April 1st, on April 1st.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that has nothing to do with MS from an accredited university or not. Okay.
It doesn't.
Perfect. That answered the question. Thanks a lot, Rajiv, and thanks for Nata.
You're welcome.
Once again.
I'm accepting thanks on behalf of Nata as well. I hope you guys don't mind, Mohanji. Okay, next question is, let's see. Oh, I can't unmute. Okay, I unmuted. Area code 660. Go ahead, please. Area code 660-365.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, sir.
Yeah. I'm a student from UNVA, and I got some questions about my friends who are staying in India right now.
Okay.
Actually, they took a break this semester and they went on a vacation to India.
Okay.
So they are afraid that something may be problem at the airport.
Well, if the school is decertified by the time they come back, they've got a problem. Okay. Before the decertification, I don't anticipate any problem. But again, I really cannot predict how the government is thinking. So the answer to their question, is this an issue? Well, they have two choices, either come back right away and take their chances, because the school is still certified. There's nothing wrong with the school. Or wait and see how it develops, and if the school gets decertified, they'll have to get a new F-1 visa stamp and a new F-1 admission.
Okay, so it would be better to come to USA before, like,
that's a personal choice. That's a personal choice. I can only tell you how it works. Either they come right now, or they come, they observe what happens with the university and come back with a new I-20 and a new visa stamp.
Okay, if they come right now, I think there won't be any problem, right?
I don't know the answer to that question. As far as I can tell, legally the school is still in existence. Why should there be a problem?
Okay. That's the tragedy.
Okay. Guys, I've got about 20 questions up right now. So I'm going to do as many as I can. But we will be doing these calls again and again until, you know, all the information that we need is available. So not to worry if I'm not able to get to you today. Don't let that get you down. We'll eventually answer all questions. Area code 347, go ahead, please. Area code 347. 347849, you logged in at 1:49 p.m. Okay. Anybody whose questions have already been answered, please press star 5 so your hand gets lowered, so I don't have to worry about unmuting you. Okay. Let's see. Area code 571, go ahead, please. 571-232, you just raised your hand.
Hello, Rajiv.
Yes.
Actually, I am graduated last June.
Yes.
And actually, I did my undergraduate in electronics.
Okay.
I am planning to file for H-1.
All right.
And because this is maybe uncertified certificate, if they apply for H-1, there will be any problem in the process.
Well, because you have a degree that's related to your field, which I assume is IT, I think you should be okay. You have a four-year degree, you should be fine.
But that four-year degree in electronics.
Yeah, we see. We have plenty of people who have a degree in electronics, which is sort of electrical engineering, and they have several years of experience in IT industry. If you have 3 years of experience, you should be fine.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
You have another question? Go ahead. I'm listening.
I have one more question. Can I count this U.S. master's like a software experience in India like that?
No. Probably not. It has to be experience as a full-time working experience.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Raji.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
All right. I'm going on to the next person. Area code 732447. Go ahead. 732447.
Hello, Rajiv.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Rajiv.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rajiv. Right now, I got an OPT card. And I'm planning for H-1, as I heard, like, several answers from them. But can I use my H-1, like, going through an MS degree, or do I need to go through an open general category?
Okay. So your question is, if I have a master's degree from this university, can I use it to go through the master's degree quota?
Yes.
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if the regulations say that your master's degree must be from an accredited school. I have to look at the regs. But in any case, quota is not an issue, so I'm not going to put too much time into it. There is still so much quota left. You guys should be fine.
Okay. So if it is in general quota, they usually ask three pay stubs for filing an H-1 with an employer.
That's only when you're doing an H-1 transfer.
Oh, okay. So that's all. I got my own.
Your status is governed by your I-20 and your attendance of classes.
So I have another question.
Sure.
Is it like they really give us, I mean, I have read through many websites and testimonials saying that CAPGAP is not given to the person who is not in status. I mean, if I'm through MS, and if I'm through the school, accredited school, and if I'm filing for an H-1 after April, so I can use the CAPGAP. If I'm not...
If your OPT expires before April, you've got a problem for that year. Okay? But if your OPT expires after April and you apply before your OPT expires, there's no problem. You get CAPGAP.
Okay.
Again, if your OPT expires before April 1st, you don't get CAPGAP.
Okay. So if UNVA has been revoked, my OPT is also revoked. So at the time,
you are immediately out of status, but can you continue to use the CAPGAP if your H-1 was already approved? I don't know the answer to that question. We'll have to ask USCIS and ICE what they think.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I think you would not be able to. Why? Because if you look at the CAPGAP procedures, what do you have to do? You have to take the I-20 back to the school and get it endorsed for the employer that you are working on CAPGAP. So let's say you're working for IBM. You go back to UNVA and say, look, stamp my I-20 so it reflects that during the CAPGAP, I'm working for IBM. If there is no university, there is no I-20. If there's no I-20, there is no CAPGAP. Okay? My guess is CAPGAP will be gone. You will be out of status. You'll have to either apply for another status, like a tourist visa or another F-1 visa for the duration of the October, or you have to leave USA. But, you know, we may not even have this problem. Like I said, they still have till August end to respond. Then the government will decide by September, and then, you know, they might give us 60 days. So we might even not have a problem like this.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I'm hoping for, but we'll wait and watch and see. This question I cannot answer authoritatively.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Thank you, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay. Bunch of other people have also raised their hands, and okay, and some of them are actually repeat questions. I have about 35 questions now, so. I'll do my best, guys. Again, I'm not sure I can do all of them. Probably do 5-6 more. Area code 309, you have a question for me? 309? Okay, I keep unmuting you, but you can't hear me for some reason. Area code 312, you have a question for me, sir?
Or maybe? Yeah, this is Srini again. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be hogging the line.
The last
actually.
Time I'll answer your question, I have to take
Yeah, that's what. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be hogging the line, but...
Fine, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. One last question I have is, see, for the students like who are going to be out of status, how would I get to know that I'm going to be out of status?
Oh, just a second. Let me mute the other guy. Okay. You will know only through the government sources.
So okay. Would there be time, advance notice?
What they did was, last time, like the Pennsylvania school, they actually sent individual letters to each student.
Okay.
That you have 60 days grace period, et cetera, et cetera. But you will also see notification on the ICE website. So keep track of the ICE website. Keep track of our website. Keep track of other websites that are dealing with this issue.
Okay. So that will give us kind of an effective date, saying, okay,
yes.
Effective this,
yes.
This, you're going to be out of status.
I also want you to remember, anything published on a government website has the force of law. So whatever they publish, they are bound by it.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Good luck, Srini. Okay, let me, again, area code 616, you have a question for me? 616, you just raised your hand.
Yes, I have a question actually. See, I'm on OPT now and I have my OPT till December 2011.
All right.
Well, actually, like, now I want to, like, what is the best thing I can do now? Because I just came back from India 10 days ago and I'm not on a job now.
Apply, get yourself an H1, get yourself an H1 employer, apply for an H1. I think it sounds like a good idea.
But I have another option. See, I have my fiancé here. He's on H1, so can I get married to him and jump onto dependent? Because no one, like, without it.
I don't see any problem with that. Go ahead and get married and apply for H4, sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good luck. Okay, let me go on to the next question, which is area code 732372. 732372. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Raju.
Hello, sir.
I have a question. This question is on behalf of 10 students.
Mm-hmm.
So we all got H1 approved.
All right.
You know, once it is approved, they can't cancel the H1, right?
Once it is approved, they cannot cancel the H1 unless there is active fraud in procuring the H1, which I don't think is a problem.
Okay. And one more question is, you know, we all applied to the master's degree. Since the degree is not valid,
mm-hmm.
So they already approved the H1. Are they going to
cancel that? They cannot go back. They cannot go back.
It's not an approved university?
No, they should not go back. I don't see why they would go back. I mean, of course, H1 can be revoked once it's issued in mistake. There is always that possibility. But how do you know that your H1 was issued based upon master's degree and not based upon your education and experience combination? We don't know the answer to that question. So under the circumstances, I won't worry about it.
Okay. And one more thing is, one of my friends, the H1 is going to start on November. They are going to terminate the OPT before that. And, you know, if they give like 30 days gap and remaining 1 month gap, is there anything alternative that we can do in that 1 month?
Well, I probably will end up having to have these people apply for a tourist visa. If you go to my blog, which is on forums.immigration.com, link is from immigration.com also. Just go to www.immigration.com, go to my blog, and search my blog for the words laid off. And one of the things I have told people, when they get laid off on H1, they can apply for a tourist visa. And it discusses in detail how to do it, what the pros and cons are. People like your friend who have a gap in their status could do something like that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Good luck, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Somebody from area code 612. Go ahead, please. Area code 612. 612-266. No, 612. Yeah, 26. 612-226. 612-226. Okay. All right. Let's go on to the next question. We have 703945. Go ahead, please. 703945. Do you have a question? All right. Next is area code 571215. Go ahead, please. Okay. Area code 203, go ahead, please. I can hear somebody breathe, guys. If you just say hello, we'll hear you.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yes. I'll explain your situation very quickly. H1 is approved,
mm-hmm.
and working on CPT right now.
Okay.
Okay, and then the university gets uncertified.
Okay.
On August 28th, probably.
All right.
Hope it doesn't. Okay. And in the 1 month period when the H1 starts on October 1st and it between August 28th.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure that we are not eligible for working, but can we stay?
Well, that's the whole point. If the government gives you grace period to stay,
mm-hmm.
60 days they give you to change status, you can stay.
We can stay. If not, we are not eligible for staying also, right?
Either you'll apply for a tourist visa, like an interim thing, or you will leave.
Mm-hmm.
US, or you will leave U.S.
Okay, got it. That's the only one which I had. Thanks for helping us.
You're welcome. Good luck, sir. Okay, area code 571-215.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
First of all, I would like to thank Nata and yourself, you know, for doing a wonderful job.
Of course. Can you please speak up a little bit, sir? I can barely hear you.
Yeah. I have two questions, actually.
Okay.
So one is, there are a bunch of students, including myself, who are studying in the last semester of who is going to complete in fall, which is like
okay.
September, and as UNVA. So if, unfortunately, if the college is uncertified, so what would be our cases? Would it be immediately we'd be out of status or?
Yes. The decertification, if it is done properly, should also contain a 60-day or some days grace period for the students to, I'm just saying 60 because that's what they did in the past. It could be
okay.
more, it could be less. They should give you some time to change status. You would then have to transfer schools or get an H-1.
Okay. So, and my second question is, it's related to one of my friends, which we were discussing yesterday. And she's also studying in the last semester. And she has a F1 stamped for this university, as well as she also has a valid H4, which is valid till next year, actually. So she came on H4 and she converted into F1, and then she has both these visas valid right now. But she entered into this country as a F1 student.
Right.
So if for any case, by unfortunately, if this in a certification is, the college is uncertified and she's out of status, will she automatically be converted to H4
no.
or?
No, she does not get automatically converted. She has to do one of the two things.
Okay.
She either has to travel outside USA and come back using H-4
okay.
visa, or she has to apply for a change of status to H-4. Both of these things must be done before she falls out of status.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, all right. But if they give some grace period or something like that,
then there's no problem. She can travel during the grace period.
Go.
She can go to Canada or Mexico and come back using H-4 visa.
Yeah, but still, you know, what I'm saying is if they cancel it, just like saying that it's canceled and you're out of status, but still she can travel back to another state and come back.
Well, there is a law on the books.
There is
a law on the books that says if you have been out of status for even one day, your visa can be considered to be automatically revoked.
Okay.
CBP can use that and refuse her entry.
Oh, okay.
And they can take it one step further and they can even say you are barred for 5 years from entering USA. So, in a situation like that, I would want her to consult with a lawyer before she does anything.
Okay. So that is one thing. And the other case is when on CPT, there is one more friend who is working in CPT as a contractor. So is it allowed as a CPT to work as a contractor?
I have a question about that myself. I'm not quite sure. Because... here's how I would put it. If the letter submitted by the employer, the CPT employer, to the school clarifies that, look, our contracts are all over the place and, the employee could be working at any one of the sites that we decide, I think there's no problem. But, again, I'm not sure. I know that the ICE agents that I spoke with thought that working at a contractor subsite, et cetera, is a problem. But I am not aware of any law that expressly comes out and says that.
Why I'm asking this question is, he already resigned it, but he had a doubt of whether it would be really, he wasn't sure before he took this job, and then after that.
You can tell him Rajiv has the same doubt.
Okay. Okay, that's that answers another question. And going back to the second question, actually, you're suggesting that it's always better to go out when they are in status and come back in H4, right? Or apply for a H4 status immediately. And
Let me interrupt you for one second. You can apply for H4 status online. So it's very easy. You can do it like the same day you find out what's going on.
Okay.
And the application is considered to be filed the same day you hit submit on the computer. So it really is a good way to go.
Oh, so once they announce something in the same day, we can submit it? Is that what you're suggesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That would be great. So because she doesn't want to take any chances, like, you know, if she applies it right now, she will be out of state. I mean, she will be transferred to H4. And she won't, if the college is not uncertified, then, you know, she will lose all the efforts she has done, you know. That's why she was worried on that one.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Rajiv. And I appreciate that. Your work as well as NATA's interest on us. Thank you very much.
Good luck, sir. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's go on to area code 530, please. 530-263. Okay. Area code 607.
530-63, Anka.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I can barely hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
You can hear me right now?
I can hear two people. Hello? That's a good thing. Let's start with the louder person first, sir. Go ahead, please.
We finished. I mean, I have a common dot for every one of my friends, you know, everyone on the same issue.
Okay.
We all finished masters from UNVA.
All right.
And we have applied for OPT, which is in the initial stage.
All right.
It has not been decided. I mean, the decision is not yet made.
Okay.
I guess it would take about a month or so.
All right.
So what are we supposed to do now? I mean, we finished our masters.
Well, people who have an OPT, as far as I know, read the frequently asked questions on USCIS website. That the website I mentioned about transferring schools, I think you might be able to transfer the OPT grant to the next school. I don't know if that's possible. Sounds kind of silly now that I say it, but it's worth looking into it.
Yeah. So where do you want me to look it up at?
It's in the ICE frequently asked questions. Let me give you the exact URL. Actually, if you just send me an email, I'll send you the URL.
Oh, if you don't mind, can I get your email address?
My email address is help@immigration.com.
Okay, sure. And one thing, if our, we get our OPT and then the school is shut down, I mean, what would we have to do? I mean,
OPT is gone the moment the school is gone, as far as I know. I think this is also covered by the frequently asked questions that I mentioned.
If the OPT, I mean, once we get the OPT and the school is shut down, we won't be able to transfer our school. I mean, even if we do another master's, we won't get another OPT because it's on the same level of education.
They might consider that. This is an unusual circumstance, and I don't know if I'm authorized or even expert enough to comment about that. Your international students office will have to decide. The DSO can tell you in the transferring school, the transfer in school, they can tell you whether or not they can issue another OPT because that OPT was canceled.
So what do you suggest us to do? I mean,
at this point, I don't think you can do anything. If you get a choice of getting an H1, I would go ahead and take it because it seems to be the safest thing to do at this point.
Yeah, that is the safest thing, and we have to receive the OPT once to start working, because I hope we would get the OPT by this month end or maybe early next month. So
I would apply for the H1 as soon as I can. That's what I would do.
Okay, so even without an OPT, you can apply for a H1?
Sure.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Oh, so you can apply for a H1 without an OPT too?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know about it. Okay, that was really great.
All right. Good luck to you, sir.
Hello. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Go ahead, I can hear you, the one who said hello.
Yeah.
Which area code are you calling from, sir?
530.
1 second. Go ahead, please, I can hear you.
Yeah. Right, the university in Pennsylvania did the same thing like UNBA and they shut down. So can you please give me the reason why the Pennsylvania University shut down? Is it like UNBA thing or some other causes?
I don't know the University of Pennsylvania. I have no idea what happened there. When did they shut down?
No, just now you said right in the meeting.
Oh, no, I said there was a university in Pennsylvania. There was a school. That was a few years ago. I make a reference to that in my letter to the president. If you look at the letter to the president, it actually contains the notice that ICE sent to the students of that university, giving them 60 days grace period.
If it is the same thing like UNVA, and this is UNVA people will get the 60 days grace period, right?
Well, they won't automatically get it. There's nothing written down on this, but that's what they have done in the past. Okay? This is not a guaranteed period, but we think that's what they should do.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Okay, guys, area code 703349.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, hi. I'm actually also working on CPT right now, and my CPT expires actually August 30th of the month, and I have initiated my H1 process. Now, my H1 scenario is a little different because I was initially on H1. I completed my 7 years extension, and then I had to come on F1 visa. But my I-140 is approved through my previous employer, so I would be using that and trying to get my H-1 transfer. So I just wanted to find out, so my H-1 would not fall into
your
that
scenario,
October.
Your scenario is the same as everybody else's, ma'am. And
okay.
It doesn't look like you are subject to the quota. You never went outside USA for 1 year, right?
No, never, yeah.
Yeah, so you are not subject to the quota. So as soon as your H-1 is approved, you should start working.
Okay, so my only question was that if my H-1 is not approved until August 30th and my CPT expires August 30th, of course, I cannot get an extension on my CPT because they don't have the CVS access anymore. So in that scenario, I would
work.
Still...
You can't
yeah.
work, but you can stay in USA. I don't see any problem with that.
Okay, and right now, actually, I'm on maternity leave through my company as well because I just had a baby just a week back. So thanks for that. So would I be able to continue on my maternity leave and get the maternity benefits, or will I have to tell them?
I would be very careful with that. You may want to talk
okay.
with your lawyers.
Okay.
And if you just discuss it with them because unauthorized employment includes benefits. So just be
okay.
very careful with that.
Okay. Okay. And if I have to to be on the safer side, just in case my H-1 does not get approved or something, I want to have a backup option available as well. So would I need to transfer my F-1 visa, or would it be just a CVS transfer?
It's a CVS transfer. That's what happens.
And that happens pretty much right away, or does it take time?
It takes a few days.
Okay, a few days.
It takes
okay.
a few
not
days.
Not a month or something like that.
No,
okay.
no, it shouldn't take more than that. Maybe a couple of weeks.
Okay, okay.
If the CVS records were sealed, like they were sealed in the TVU, unfortunately, we have been too well-trained in this school closing by now because
right.
we've seen quite a few of them, and we've
right.
been involved with at least TVU very, you know, to full extent. So, unfortunately, we have seen this, and if the CVS records are sealed, which were sealed in the case of TVU, I don't think that should happen here.
Right.
Then it becomes a problem. It becomes a long, drawn-out process. But in normal cases, it should be a matter of a few weeks, few days maybe.
Okay. And we just contact CVS and do a transfer?
You contact your transfer in school. The DSO contacts the CVS.
Okay, okay.
And
so they will help
us.
They
have written, I may be wrong on this, because there are written guidelines on how to do this right now on ICE website.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see. Oh, still a lot of questions. Let me see how many I can do, guys. I'm going to keep going until I drop dead. Okay, area code 703 703-880. Go ahead, please. 703-880. Go ahead.
Hi, sir. Rajiv.
Hi. Hello.
My wife, actually, she came on HR to U.S. And she joined, actually, in Dallas College, actually, initially taken I-20.
Okay.
And later she transferred her from Dallas College to UNVA because my employment moved.
Okay.
So before I moving her, actually, I started using my EAD. So she is no longer in my green card EAD, green card status at all. So she is independent, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So she completed her education with UNVA, and she got her degree, everything, actually. And she got her OPT 2 months back. And she did not started working. She is looking for a job right now.
Mm-hmm.
The previous questions I was hearing, actually, what can be done, CAP-GAP, and you know how to apply for H-1. But I approached a few H-1 employers. They're saying that without a client letter, like employment, we can't file for
H-1. It's quite difficult to get an H-1 these days. That is true.
Yeah, it will deny. So in this case, what options I have, actually?
Are you on green card right now, you said?
No, I'm an EAD, but my 485 is pending.
No, one option is for you to go back to H-1 and her to go back to H-4.
Mm-hmm.
The other is for her to transfer schools.
Okay. If I go back to H-1, then what happens to my previous EAD? And can I have to work on EAD or H-1, new H-1?
You can go outside USA, get an H-1 visa stamp and be on H-1.
Okay, then what happens to my old 485, which is pending right now?
485 can go on, even if you have an H-1, no problem.
No problem. So I have to file a new H-1 and transfer back to
mm-hmm.
H-4.
Yeah.
Okay. Or she can go to the new school again?
Yes, sir.
That's the only two options we have?
Those are the only two options I see.
Okay, but she can't apply for H-1, and if she...
Yeah, she can't do an H-1, then those are the only two options I see.
Okay. Can we try for H-1 or definitely without a client letter?
It's a waste of money in my opinion.
I understand. Okay. Thank you. Valuable
good luck, sir. All right. Area code 732-607. Go ahead, please.
I'm not sure, Rajaji. Is it my line, maybe?
Sir, I can't hear you. You're going to have to speak up.
Rajaj, is it my line? Mahesh here.
Oh,
I'm not
oh,
sure.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know how it got unmuted.
Now it seems to have gotten okay. Mahesh, are you getting very bored? Are you okay?
No. We are fine. Actually, it's kind of very helpful. And
okay.
After end of the call, just we will plan for another call so we can give information to everyone.
Okay. I'm leaving you open so that your line is unmuted right now. You can talk anytime.
Okay.
Area code 410-696, go ahead, please. 410-696. 410-696, we can all hear you. All righty. We go to, let's see. I just did 703-886, didn't I? 703-886. 703-886, okay, out. Area code 919-852, 919-852. Okay. Area code 312, go ahead. 312. I can hear somebody moving. Just say hello. 312. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi. I just had a few questions, but some of them were solved right now. But, I applied for my OPT just a few weeks before the raid. And I just wanted to find out if my OPT is being processed or is it just kept on a hold right now?
I do not know the answer to that question, sir. We're going to have to wait and see if the university gets decertified. If it does get decertified, you know your answer. If it does
okay.
not get decertified...
And again, what if I wanted to be on a safer side? Can I cancel my OPT?
You can just go into another... Just do a transfer that automatically cancels the OPT, right?
Oh, the moment I apply for a transfer, then the OPT is canceled right away?
when the transfer is approved, the OPT is gone. But you can double check this with the transfer in school's DSO.
Okay, fine. Thank you. And what, according to you, is the probability of the school being shut down?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the problems. I don't know what the claims are. I don't know what the answers are. I only know one side of the story, the government side.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. That was what I wanted to ask.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay. Area code 703326. Go ahead, please. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Yes. First of all, thank you, Ranjit, for answering all the questions to a poor patient.
Absolutely.
You know what? I have been asking questions like to many friends, but they are suggesting me a different way. But when I hear about all the questions that people are asking to you, it's quite similar to me. But I found a little idea about what I'm looking for. And but one thing I don't understand is, you were talking about a H-1B.
Right.
Okay. I am in OPT right now, and probably I started my OPT a couple of months ago. And I think it lasts up to next May. And right now, I mean, I have only one choice, that I need to go for a H-1B. And I don't think I can apply H-1B with my master's degree. Is that right? That's what we are talking about, right?
You may be able to qualify based upon your bachelor's degree. See, some people here have said that they were able to get an H-1 even with their unaccredited degree. Hey, it doesn't hurt to try.
Hello?
It doesn't hurt to try.
I'm sorry?
I said it does not hurt to try.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can hear you properly. I don't know why.
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right. I had just changed my ears. I was tired. This ear was tired, but that's okay.
Okay.
You can always try. And the moment the government can say no, I mean, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. What the you were answering to the questions asked based on H-1B. You were saying that you can, I mean, people like me can go for a H-1B with a bachelor degree that we did in India, right?
Right. Tell me your case.
Yes. In my case, I have done my bachelor degree for 4 years, which was a bachelor in electronics and communication department. But the thing is, like you were saying, we need to have 3 years of experience or something like that. What was it?
Either that, you see, here's the problem. Most electronic engineering jobs or degrees, when you look at their transcripts, they are oriented towards hardware, not software.
Okay.
They are like an electrical engineering degree, correct?
Yep.
In USA, they call it electrical engineering. So can an electrical engineer work in IT? Sure. It depends upon the kind of work they do. Can he be a programmer? Okay. Probably not, because that's not what his degree is for.
Okay, so
but often USCIS overlooks that distinction, and that's okay, or they believe that they are qualified to do the job. Very often, your job can be such that it's a mixture of hardware and software. For example, if you're working in firmware, if you're programming firmware, that's one example. You are doing real-time systems, or, you know, anything that involves a combination of hardware and software. Software architecture could involve hardware knowledge as well. So it all depends upon the job as well. It's not, you can't just give up on it.
Okay. So my question is, can I apply for a H-1B without an experience?
The answer is probably yes. Will you be successful? That I don't know. That depends on the job description. That depends upon how USCIS views it. A lot of variables there, but can you apply? Yes. Is it worth it? Probably yes.
So, for sure, I can use my, in this situation, I don't have to use my master's degree with, H-1B file, right?
Well, I think you should use both. You should make mention of both. And then if the government wants to know more about your degrees, then you can answer the questions.
Okay. So, you might have seen so many people applying for H-1B, right? So, can I ask you a general question? So, what are the reasons... USCIS can reject NVA, H-1B
visa. I cannot answer that question. I can write a 3-volume book on that.
Okay.
That's like asking a doctor how many ways can people get sick.
All right. So in this situation, I'm saying like people going who are going through.
That question. That's mm-hmm. a fair question. I can't really answer that question for you.
Okay. Anyway, thank you. Thanks for your
You're
answers.
Welcome. You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Area code 646447.
Rajiv, it is 646.
Yeah, 646.
Rajiv, so most of the question, I think I got the answer, but I was about to ask. But specifically, I would like to discuss one worst-case scenario.
All right.
Let's say we have an H-1 ready on October 1st, mm-hmm. but school got this certified, let's say, September 5th, right?
Right.
So my question is, for that grace period, do we have to change into the, you know, say, visitor visa or some other visa, or should we?
Yeah, you'd probably have to leave USA or change into another status.
Okay.
It becomes complicated. I would want to discuss that situation when it arises because there are many, many, many different ways of handling it.
Okay. And one more question. Like, if we, let's say, the immigration people give us, you know, 30 days of notice to change the status, and we already have approved status for H-1 from October 1st,
right.
So still we have to apply for
the... No, I think you're okay. As long as the gap is covered between when the school is decertified and when you start your H-1, there's no problem.
Okay, so you mean to say when they give us 30 days, it means school is still valid?
That when they give you 30 days, it means you are not out of status for 30 days. And
all
it
right.
brings you to October 1st, you have a new status anyway, so you're fine.
That's perfect. Thanks.
Okay, good luck. Okay, all right, let's see. Area code 8, hang on, 860-639.
Hey, Rajiv, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I can also hear all the background sound.
Hello. Hi. Actually, this question was answered by, asked by other guys. I am on the last semester of my master's. So what is the best advice do you think, you can give me to do?
You are in the last semester. We don't know what is going to happen in the school. I would keep attending classes since you are so close to the end. I'm hoping that the government will be, as they have promised, they will be more careful with the students' rights. And if they do decertify the university, I'm hoping they'll give you a chance to transfer over. I would at least start talking to the universities and see which university I can go to if I have to.
Okay. So
continue attending classes. I will make you a full course load. And in the meantime, start talking to universities and see if I have to transfer over, what do I have to do?
You also said that you have a version from government. So what is that version? Why did they come behind? And what was the reason exactly why they did it?
If you just Google the Northern Virginia University and start reading the news items, you'll start seeing they have made allegations such as some issue about online classes and that they were only authorized to issue 50 I-20s. They issued 2,400, something like that.
Oh, okay. Because about this I-20, I am in touch with a reporter of Washington Times by name Benjamin Wolfgang, and he spoke to ICE spokesperson, and she said that there is no limit for a school issuing I-20s, and but she really don't know why, and she didn't tell what's going on. But this is a confirmed news that ICE spokesperson has said him. There is no limit for I-20s that a school can issue.
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm yet to see a school certification. I don't know what the certification looks like, whether it contains any limit on the number of student visas that can be issued or I-20s that can be issued. But the government made the same allegations in the case of Tri-Valley University also. So obviously, I'm sure they're not making this up. There must be a rule somewhere that says you cannot issue beyond a certain number.
Okay, so once again, what probability do you think that this will stand on or fall down?
Well, we don't know. I'll have to see. It depends upon what answer the university gives.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. I want to keep going a little bit longer, see how many more I can do. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, just do one at a time. Area code 919. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv.
919, go ahead.
Yes, Rajiv. Currently, I'm on my H-1B status, and I'm planning to visit India sometime soon.
All right.
And do you think it would affect my chances of visa stamping?
The fact that you are a student of Northern Virginia University, no, I don't think so.
Okay, and what if my H-1 was applied on master's quota, in master's quota?
Well, you know, I have to read the regulations, guys. I'm sorry. I'll try to remember to read this tomorrow. Does the master quota require an accredited degree? I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question. So right now, even the general quota is available. Even in the worst-case scenario, I don't see why this should be a problem. When was your H-1 approved? This year?
No, it was approved in 2009 October. I started working from 2009 October.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I can't predict how it's going to play out. I mean, you can have your lawyers look into it, whether or not under the law. I would want them to look into it. I don't want you to just go. I think you should have them look into it. Is the exemption from the or the master's degree quota, does it require an accredited degree? I don't think the regulations say anything about that.
Okay. And one last question.
Sure.
I've started green card processing, and I'm applying it through the EB2 category. Now, with this happening, would it be affecting?
Well, you see, I always have a problem with unaccredited degrees. You should make sure that your degree is considered to be the equivalent of a U.S. bachelor's degree or U.S. master's degree. That's something only an evaluation agency can tell you. I can't really tell you that.
Okay.
But normally, unaccredited degrees, I don't think, are considered to be equivalent.
Okay. And if I have a bachelor's degree and sufficient experience, would I still...
That might help, yeah. That might take care of it.
Okay.
As long as your labor certification is drafted like that.
Okay.
Okay.
That answers all the questions, Rajiv.
Well, good
thank
luck.
Thank you very much for your help and Nata.
Our pleasure. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Area code 732900.
Hello, Rajivji. This is Rebecca.
Oh, there you are, Rebecca. Where the heck have you been?
Rajivji, bahut tension ho rahi hai. But can I ask you my question, or is this dedicated only to UNVA calls?
Let's do it separately. Aap ek kaam karo, mere ko apna na phone number bhej do. Just email me your cell phone number. Tomorrow,
okay.
I'm going to have a little time. I'll call you tomorrow morning.
Okay, Rajivji, that's fine. Thank you so much.
Email kar do.
Yeah. Sure. Thanks,
Rajivji. Yeah. By Rebecca is one of the leaders from the Tri-Valley University cases. Very big person. She was on TV and everything. Okay. Area code 301667.
301667, bolie. Okay. Area code 732666.
Hello.
301. Yeah, go ahead, please. Actually, I'm. I mean, I did not take any CPT like that from the industry.
Okay.
And I'm not doing any part-time jobs or something like that.
All right.
So I'm about to complete my master's in the coming December.
All right.
So what is the best thing for me to stay with the university? Or
well, I've just answered that question. I've just answered that question for somebody else.
Okay.
If you are in your last semester, I think it makes sense to wait and watch and see how it plays out. But
okay.
It also makes sense. I mean, keep attending classes, keep attending full courses.
Yeah,
but
I've been agreeing that.
Yeah, in the meantime, talk with other universities. See if you had to. Who can you go to and who would you like to go to? So, you know, shop around.
Yeah, actually, I have seen one more university, but the classes is going to commence from 24th of this month. So will the time be sufficient for me?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. That's something you have to figure out, the logistics.
Okay.
Okay? But I want you to at least be prepared to move if you have to. That's
okay. Okay. And the other thing is that I just saw in the Google groups that there's no allegations against UNVA. They can appoint a new DSO and carry on with the school. They have said something like that.
Yeah, they have said that you can continue attending classes until we decide the case.
I mean, the thing is that they said they have decided and that there is nothing accused of the UNVA.
They are what? I'm sorry?
They mentioned in the Google groups that the USCIS and the ICE has mentioned that they can appoint a new DSO and continue the classes. There is nothing against the rules from UNVA. Something in the positive side.
I haven't heard any news like that so far, but if that's indeed
okay.
The news, that means the case has gone away, then we are wasting time, right?
Yeah, that's what I was hoping, because I just saw in the groups some people are posting this.
I would just wait and watch it, because
okay.
Google group, anybody can post anything, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Until we know for sure, let's assume
okay.
that it's the worst case scenario.
Okay.
Let me go on. I have 3 more calls left. Let me just...
Yeah, sure, sure. Thank you.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Just 3 more guys. Very good. 240 area code. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Raising their hands, guys. I'm not going to have any more time, so I'm just going to do the call. Yeah, go
Hello?
Ahead. 240, please. Yeah.
Hi, Rajuji. I have a question. Actually, I was working on CPT till last Friday, July 29th, and I'm still eligible to work on CPT. But my problem is I was working as a full-time employee, and I left that project because I need location change, and I got a different project from this Monday. So I have right now 3 different jobs I got in my hand. So, but whenever we have a job change according to ENVA or CIVIS, we need to go to university and update our CIVIS accordingly, and we need to submit the new offer letter in the university.
Mm-hmm.
So still now I'm eligible to work on CPT, and everybody else are working on CPT because the school is still running. But my concern is my service needs to get updated with the new employer.
You should call the service phone number that they have and see what they suggest.
Okay. I have done it, and they said they are not updating anything, and the school will have some DSO official soon. That's what I'm seeing right now. Just like 2 minutes ago, I got an email in the Google groups also saying that the positive news that they appointed some DSO officials in the school.
Okay, well, then there is your answer. Go ahead and do that, and let's see how
okay.
it works out. You know. That's,
okay, because everybody else is also working, and then I'm just wondering whether they will issue a new thing or not. But I already pressed *5, but just now I saw an email. They're supposed to news like they appointed DSO. Maybe I'll go to the school and find out with them what.
Yeah,
can
find
do.
Out. Find out and, you know, drop me an email to help@immigration.com, whatever you find.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure, definitely. Thank you so
Good
much.
Good luck, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay, guys, there are some more people who have raised their hands. I'm not going to have a chance to get to them. I'll do the last 2 calls that were already up. Area code 386. Go ahead, please. 386.
Let me explain my situation.
Yes.
Like, I came last year, and right now, since the school issue is going on, if I find an employer and he's ready to file H-1 for me,
mm-hmm.
and meanwhile, once the process is started and the school is unaccredited, then can I, I'll be on the status or...
Yes, because I would say you would be, because when you started the process, you were still in status. Now, that's a very rough
yeah.
guess, because there are several permutation combinations variations that are possible. But
yeah.
overall, I think you are much more secure than if you don't start your H-1.
Oh, okay. All right. And one more quick question. And just in case, if the school is unaccredited and my H-1 is approved before, October 1st.
Right.
So how I can,
I have answered this question many, many times, and I will answer it one more time because I may
yeah.
not have been clear, so I'll do it one more time. The way I'm looking at it, it doesn't look like this is going to be a problem. Why?
Uh-huh.
If the university responds by end August,
mm-hmm.
the government decides by mid-August, I'm sorry,
yeah.
mid-September, and they give you 60 days grace period, then October is covered already.
Okay, just in case, if government don't give any grace period, so I should...
Then we have a problem, then you have to either get B visa for that short period of time or leave USA.
All right.
Or something like that.
All right. And one more last question. And if everything goes fine and from October I'll be on H-1. And since I don't have even a master's, and if my employer is filing a green card, I will fall in EB2 or EB3?
Well, that depends upon your qualifications. Bachelor's plus 5, or, you know, it all depends upon your EB3.
All right.
So it's hard for me.
So even though I don't have master's, by depending on qualification,
you can
I can
EB2.
Be eligible for EB2, right? All right.
Based upon
BS right,
plus
5. You.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Guys, there's actually some of the people have dropped their hands. I appreciate that. I guess your questions are already answered. I have two more hands up. I would love to finish it up. I hate to leave anything undone. Two more hands up. Let's try if we can finish those up. Okay. But stay on the phone because Nata has some announcements that they want to make. Okay, one more person dropped their hand. Here we go. Two more people left. Area code 201. Go ahead, please. 201.
Hi. I'm an alumni student of UNVA.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got my H1 approved last year and even got it stamped also. Okay. So, because I applied in master's quota. So, in future, next year, I believe, I need to renew my H1. So, when I renew my H1, is it still under the same master's quota?
No,
I need to show all them?
First of all, extensions are not under quota anyway.
Okay.
You have nothing to worry about.
Okay. That's simple. That's also answered.
Very good. Good luck. Okay. I'm glad I answered. Well, you guys don't raise any more hands, please. Now, three more people have raised their hands. This is never going to end otherwise. Okay? At some point, I'm going to put my foot down and say, that's it. We are done. In fact, we are done. Mahesh ji, Mohan ji? Guys?
Can you hear me, Raju?
Yes, please, go ahead. I think we are done. I would love to continue, but, you know, people keep thinking of follow-up questions as well. We're going to have to make this an end, but whenever you guys want me to do it again, I can.
Okay. Thanks, Raju. Thanks, everyone, for joining the call. Basically, I hope this will be helpful for all of you. And I request all of you, if you can form a Google group or Yahoo group, and so that, you know, we are planning to, in future, whatever the update we have from the USCIS or from Senator's office or anything, we can update you on what is happening. Otherwise, also, you can keep checking our website at natas.org. We will be keep posting our updates. Other than that, you know, if you can send the email to, as I said, communityservices@natas.org, or you can keep the copy to pr@natas.org. And I strongly recommend that, you know, if you can form a group and if you can send us the information, then we will try to keep updating you. And Rajiv has extended always that, you know, he can organize future calls as well. Till this problem is solved, we will be keep working on this case. And if you have any other requests, you can send us an email. Thanks for joining, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Good talking with all of you. Sorry I couldn't answer the last three questions, but, you know, if it's urgent, you know how to reach me. Go ahead and let me know. If it is not urgent, hang tight. Let's see how this situation plays out. We'll keep you informed, and bye-bye.